Welcome to Hey You Know It. I'm Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with
Katie Kazmir.
And we are on episode number 6, How to Get Ahead at Work.
Did you ever get ahead at work?
No.
Not you.
Oh.
I'm asking our listeners.
Okay.
If you ever got ahead at work, send us an email and let us know how you did it.
Where can we send that email to?
heyyouknowit@gmail.com.
Great. All right. So let's get right to it. I answered my question. I've never gotten ahead at work because I'm an African American and we don't know how to do office politics. We just want to come in. We're like Stanley in the office. We just want to come in, do our job. We don't want to hear about Samantha's summer camp. We don't want to hear about Ian's lacrosse. We don't want to fraternize after work and do shots. We just want to go home. So,
You don't want to feel a little comfortable in the office with everybody?
No, that's not why we're there. We're not there to be your friend. We're there to get paid.
Yeah.
You know how that is. Everybody, you know that one black person in your office that no one knows anything about. They just know his name. That's it. Shows up on time, goes home, has minimal things on the desk. They don't want to really interact. They just want to go back to, you know, whatever they're doing outside of the job.
All right.
But I do have some tips that I've gleaned from other people who I've seen get ahead. And here are my tips for getting ahead at work.
Mm-hmm.
Kiss ass. Yeah. It works. It works. Kissing ass works. Be a man. That helps.
Be a man?
Be male.
Be male. That's not a euphemism.
Not man up. Yeah.
Grow a set. Nothing.
No.
Okay.
Be male. Be attractive. We know that attractive people get very far.
Do you have to be attractive every day?
Yeah. You got to be attractive at least during work hours. Possibly a little bit afterwards when you have to fraternize at the bar.
Well, what about on Fridays when you're tired?
You could be casual attractive.
Okay.
All right. So that works. Have a good personality.
Yeah.
And get dirty secrets on everyone.
Ooh.
Yeah. Get dirty secrets on everyone. Always be in a position to sue the company. That will keep you on the job and will help you move up. Lie. And this is a one out here. If you're a woman or a minority of any kind, remember that your office place is like a TV show. There can only be one of you. So get rid of the other one. All right, Katie,
okay,
do you think?
What do I think?
How do you get ahead at work?
First, you got to get the job.
Okay.
And a lot
that
of people,
helps.
Yeah, a lot of people are having a hard time getting the job. So I think that the new thing that is going to come up is people who will go in and interview for you. There are just some people in the world that...
Like an avatar?
No, there are just some people in the world that are great at interviews,
mm-hmm.
and they get hired, but they can't do the job.
Okay.
So their service, just like there's resume writing services, headhunting services, it will be somebody who can talk to you, find out what you're about,
mm-hmm.
then go in and interview for you.
So would this person be like... They would study your movements and how you interact, how you dress, and then improve on it and show up as a better you?
Yes.
But what happens when you show up for the actual job?
Well, the employer would understand that this person is providing a service.
Is representing you.
And they would say, if this person up for the job is anything like you, I'm in for a big treat, they would say.
I'm going to send a supermodel in for me.
It doesn't have to be a supermodel. It's somebody who can get in there and answer the questions and wow the employer.
I think we should start this business. What are we doing podcasting? We could be out there making huge money.
I'm great at it. I can go and get jobs. I'm fine. But
when you get the job?
When I'm there, it's a disappointment.
Once you actually show up and do it, they're like, who is this woman?
Yeah. I've been told on more than one occasion.
That you snowed them in the interview?
I'm not exactly what I represented.
So let's imagine you've gotten the job. Then once you're there, how do you get ahead?
Well,
you don't have anything. This is typical.
I have it. Well, first of all, you have to come up with your own work jargon.
Okay,
because we're all familiar with the phrases like grow the brand, take the helicopter view,
bandwidth,
circle back. But this, you create your own, and it's called mumble speak.
Okay.
And that's where you make up your own new work verbiage that makes sense only to you. It does not explain anything. It does not answer questions. But you have to say it with confidence, and then you will appear to know something new, and people will respect you.
Kind of like in the dot-com world.
Right. So you say things. Here's a phrase. We're in business to be in business.
I like it. Okay. I have no idea what it means, so I guess it conforms to mumble speak.
It's like, what are we going to do with this about this problem? We're in business to be in business.
Our business is business.
Right. And then here's another phrase. Take it to the crop circles.
take it to the crop circles. You know what? I like that, but I want to shorten it and say, you know what we're going to do with this issue? We're going to crop circle this.
We're going to crop circle it right now.
Everybody get in here.
We got a crop circle.
Yeah.
See?
It's working already. Yeah. I feel like we just solved the problem right here in the podcast. And we're going to crop circle this.
And here's something to say in a meeting when everybody's giving ideas. You would come back and say, that's a most interesting preacher.
Wow.
See? Because you kind of bring religion into it. Everyone stops a little.
They're not going to criticize it because they think they might get sued for infringing upon your rights for religious freedom.
Yeah.
Say it again. That's a most interesting.
That's a most interesting preacher.
Wow.
That's a most interesting preacher.
I like that. When I had the misfortune of working in offices, I heard so many things that I did not understand. I spent half my time Googling during the meetings to keep up on the acronyms and the crop circle-esque kind of terms. It's just a lot of crap out there. I hate, more than anything, I hated meetings.
Yeah. Oh, the meetings
but
are awful.
Meetings and how you behave in meetings are essential. First of all, you got to show up to the meeting.
On time.
On time. And then I found out you got to stay awake. You got to pay attention every once in a while. You have to say something. So here, my thing for the meeting is just same thing as in a class. Make the first salient comment. Stop right there.
Then there's the note-taking. You have to bring in a pad and a paper, a pad and a pen, and take notes on what's being said, but you can't take notes on the wrong thing. Because they're looking at you to see what you're jotting down.
That's probably why I don't have a job right now, because I'm usually drawing a picture of me with a bubble coming out of my mouth going, this meeting is crap. What am I doing here? I really couldn't. I don't like class. I don't like meetings. I just didn't see any point of it. I just thought all of the meetings could be like, just put it on a post-it note and just put it somewhere central.
Right.
And have that be the meeting right there.
That's perfect.
Meetings usually are for management to get there and grandstand and waste your time.
Right.
And to let you know who's in charge.
Right.
You know? Half of the, it's kind of like being on a plantation.
I like looking also at who's sitting next to who around the table. Sorry, go back to the plantation.
No. Oh, I was just saying it's kind of like a plantation where it's some people's job to work and it's other people's job to watch them work.
Right.
And that's pretty much how, you know, how the meeting goes. They just want to get everyone together and watch, see what they're doing, and then they let us go. I hate meetings.
Right.
I hate working. I'm saying working's for chumps has been my motto for the past year or so.
Have you ever drifted off in a meeting and, like, left everybody emotionally and then were asked a question?
Yes. When I worked at the Board of Ed, I used to do this all the time. It's interesting because at a meeting of teachers, you see all this the exhibiting of the behavior of students.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone tries to come in late and sit in the back. So you have an auditorium that's got 30 rows and the first 17 rows are empty. The last three rows are packed. Someone's reading a paper. Someone's pretending to take notes. And then me, I'm just lying down on the floor between the seats, trying not to get seen at all. But occasionally I would kind of just nod off and start staring into space. And then inevitably they'd be like, Ms. Satmari, what does the ESL department have to say? And then I'd have to come up with something generic like, at this time, we feel that suggestion is valid and we're going to look into it further.
Nice. Nicely done.
You
got to
have your phrases, right? That have no, doesn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
There's no meaning to it. All the words are just function words. You know.
When you put valid in there, that's a great
salient
word.
Is another. Mm. That is a salient point and something that we are really going to consider looking into further.
Very good.
Thank you for bringing that up. Thank you for raising that. It's a concern that we're going to adjust our measures to look at in the future. I mean, you can go on and on and on.
Yeah.
You can just grandstand with that, and there's your meeting. I've called you all here today to speak about some issues that have come to our attention, and it sounds like something's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. And you'll probably get thanked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever I had to call a meeting, I would just do it quickly. Thanks for coming today. Here's what the meeting is about. Here's some sodas.
Yeah.
And those really lame roasted vegetable sandwiches that we always...
The wraps, and they're soggy.
Yeah.
They're always soggy.
And as a vegetarian, the wraps make me angry because what happens? The meat eaters combine their wraps with our wraps. We don't get anything. We don't even get a soggy green tortilla with nasty old roasted vegetables, cheap vegetables, a zucchini, an eggplant,
the devil's vegetable.
I call that the devil's vegetable.
And some peppers.
And some peppers. If you're lucky. And no seasoning. Apparently, flavor costs money in any case.
Okay. Now we're getting to how people think stuff works and how stuff really works.
All right.
All right.
So I'd like to say that people think, or you're led to believe when you're younger, that the way to get ahead at work is to work hard.
Yes.
This is not true. The way to get ahead at work is to work long.
Work long?
Yeah.
Get what do you
there.
Mean?
I mean, get there early. Make sure that you're always around. Be the first person there. Mm-hmm. Be the last person to leave. You don't really have to do anything. But people see you at your cube.
It's so true.
It's true.
So true. You could be on Facebook. You could be doing all different things. And as long as you're there and like go and saying things like, oh, what a day.
Yeah. Or
what
just
a day.
Furrowing your brow, rolling up your sleeves. And,
yeah.
You know, doing a lot of harumph and that kind of thing.
And move folders and papers on your desk,
yeah,
too.
You'll be fine. But if you're an efficient worker, this isn't the surest way to get fired.
Yeah.
If you have finished your work early or on time, this is a sure sign that, you know, something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that you don't fit into the corporate culture. So I say, forget about working hard. Work long. Be there. Be there a lot.
Good.
And bring donuts for people.
Yes. Bake something. Like, I made it at home.
Yeah.
I think also this is about getting raises. This is advice for people who want raises.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people think they get raises because they do a good job.
No.
No, you don't. People get raises because the bosses like them.
Yeah, definitely.
That's it. And people like people who are like them. So what you have to do is make your boss like you. You have to be kind of like the same kind of person. So you have to find out what the boss's personal interests are and mirror them.
Okay.
If they like chamber music.
You love chamber
right.
music.
If they have a subscription to Dairy Goat Journal.
You also get it.
Yeah, it's on your desk. All right. Try to get the same haircut they have.
Wow.
Because when they see you, it'll be like looking in a mirror. So they think they're reminded of themselves.
And it's not going to get, like, single white female and they're afraid you're hiding with, like, a stiletto that stabbed them in, like, the conference room after work?
Not to the boss. No, no. That it's all for them.
I would be freaked out as a boss if I came in and everybody all of a sudden had afro and was wearing platform shoes. I would sue.
No, you would be very comfortable. Suddenly you'd feel like, gosh, why am I so relaxed?
Yeah. Why is my company going much better now than when everyone had a perm?
All right.
I see your point.
Well, the other thing also you could do is if you can't like what they like, impose your likes upon them. Get to your boss's office early and put Beanie Babies on his desk, just like you have on your desk, and then you'll have something in common. He'll grow fond of them.
Now, I guess
like
this is your boss at 1991, I'm guessing, with Beanie Babies. This is not a modern
boss. This is a suggestion, you know? If you like Beanie Babies, then you can impose them on him.
If you like Beanie Babies, you got issues. I don't know what to say. I was never into Beanie Babies.
No, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying.
I know. No, I wasn't either. Unless you're a 9-year-old girl,
I just didn't see the point of Beanie Babies. They were cheap
and small.
And plentiful.
Yeah, all
and they
kinds.
Were acting. They were like, "Oh, they're so rare." I'm like, "They're at every friggin' Walmart on the planet." What are you talking about? They're rare. This one is, you know, like a little. You know, what would be rare if they had a Beanie Baby that was like a Henry Kissinger Beanie Baby. That is a rarity. That I would buy. But a little a cow,
a Spiro Agnew.
Yeah. Like a cow or
it's
like
so
a little bear or, you know, something like that. Like political Beanie Babies.
Right.
Kind of a Pol Pot Beanie Baby, right. I think would work as well. Good grief, Beanie Babies. Listener mail.
We have an email and they ask us.
And these people are getting quite nosy or newsy, as I've heard people say. Have you heard newsy?
No.
Yeah, I've heard people say newsy before.
Getting newsy.
Yeah, we love to get listener mail, but, you know, maybe tell us a little bit about yourself and not be so, I don't know. Anyway, listener mail, you just want to know about us. Go ahead.
Okay, the email asks, hey, you know it. What was your worst job?
Okay. Well, what was your worst job?
Oh, putting sensors on belts at Macy's.
Wow.
It hurts your fingers because those are sharp points and you stab your fingertips repeatedly.
Now, you don't use, I mean, this is done with your bare hands?
Bare hands. Bare hands. And then after I sat there for 3 hours putting the sensors on, I put them on the wrong belts.
Of course. You put them on belts that didn't need.
That they were like, please steal.
Yeah. They weren't the super expensive Marc Jacobs collection belt.
I was sitting on the floor.
Yeah.
This in the men's department.
A leather sweatshop belt.
What do I know?
That was a giveaway. A cheap men's belt?
Yeah.
Were any of the belts webbed or a fabric belt. That would be a tip off that does not need a sensor.
Probably, yeah, the rainbow with the belt with the gold clasp at the...
Oh, no. Those are the worst. Do you know what? I find that bizarre that that was your job, because who would ever steal from Macy's? Honestly, every third person in Macy's is a security guard. Don't steal from Macy's is the point.
Just don't.
If you go to a huge store and you see that there are a lot of things out... Like little, like jewelry, that things that can easily be lifted. They're watching you. They're keeping an eye on you.
Well, maybe I did a service. Maybe I was like doing the decoy belts. Everyone thought they were upscale belts now that I put the sensors on them.
How can you get the sensor off? They have to do that at the register.
Yeah.
With a machine, right?
Yeah.
So why don't they have a machine to put them on?
I wish they did.
That is why that job is horrible.
Yes. What about you? What was your worst job?
My worst job is I worked at an indoor playground in a suburb, and that's really the worst part of it, in a suburb outside of Seattle. And the theme of the playground, indoor playground, was outer space. It was in a mall, and it was for rich suburban moms who wanted to shop for an hour or two without their child.
No.
So they would bring their children in. We would put a wristband on them with a number to identify them. And then they would go and play in the least sanitary... It was like a gerbil cage for children. And in the little... In the cage part, there was like a little... A bowl, kind of, that was glass. And you could see them kind of pressed up against the glass looking out into the mall. No, they couldn't get out. They were trapped in there like the rodents they were. I had to wear those sweatpants that swish when you move, parachute pants.
Oh, yes.
And then a T-shirt that had my name on it. And, of course, no one could pronounce my name.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it has more than one syllable in it. And it was painted black, and they played Disney music all day long. It was actually a nightmare. It's like that movie The Cell with Jennifer Lopez and Vincent D'Onofrio. It was awful. I quit that job by ripping off my tag, throwing it on the floor, and being like, that's it. It was very 1980s. It was very 80s. And it was the worst job I ever had. That job made me want to cry every single day when I went to it. The Disney music, and we had to do birthday parties. Uh-oh. It was for parents who just didn't care
about the wristbands. Now, could the kids drink unlimited juice with the band?
There was an unlimited juice package, which is just like mainlining sugar. So then you've got all these hyped up, overexposed suburban kids flinging themselves around in a ball cage and gerbil and nets. It was horrifying. At the end of the day, we always had to look through the ball cage thing for
extra children.
Extra children. Every once in a while, we would find a switchblade in there.
No.
In the suburbs. These kids, they were like 7, 8 years old. It was disgusting. Yep. If you want to get streptococci, take your kids to an indoor
ball tank.
Yeah, ball tank playground in Bellevue, Washington.
That's awful.
It was a nightmare. So that's the worst job I've ever had. That job was actually worse than teaching public school, which is hard to beat. It's up there with when I had to shrink wrap things. I mean, it's hard to beat. Thank you, listener.
Yes, good
listener
question.
H, for asking us what our worst job is.
Okay, now we'll move on to advice on advice. This is where we read advice someone gave, and we give the advice giver advice on their advice, what they should have said.
Yeah, because their advice was crap, and our advice is golden.
Yes, what you got?
So I is keeping in the vein of how to get ahead at work. I found this article written by someone named Rigel Celeste. I don't believe that's a real name, called How to Flirt to Get Ahead at Work.
What?
Now, I know, but this was on, I think it was on AOL or something like that, and it's a fairly current article. How to Flirt. Flirting effectively in a professional environment really amounts to mastering the art of making people feel connected and feel good about themselves. I thought it was about getting some ass without crossing the line. Here are a few key secrets of professional flirting.
Unless you're in the profession... the world's oldest profession.
Yeah. Courtesy of Forbes.
What?
Courtesy of Forbes magazine.
Oh.
All right. Smile and make eye contact to show that you're engaged and interested in what the other person is saying. I mean, this is not really flirting. That's just paying attention and being aware, right? Build positive rapport by making light jokes.
That's nice. That's good advice for anything.
Ask colleagues personal but career-related questions, like how they got into the industry or how they dealt with a particular challenge. Once again, this is not flirting,
not
as far as I'm concerned. Flatter by complimenting successful projects. books, ideas, and even clothes or hair. This is where it starts to get a little sketchy.
Yeah.
This is where it starts to get a little $50, whore at the Windjammer in Coney Island. Be careful not to play favorites or lay it on thick. And here's where I think it goes completely wrong.
So you flirt with everybody.
Touch sparingly on the lower arm or hand to emphasize a point and connect. If I'm having a conversation with a coworker and they touch my hand, I'm following it up with a right hook. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
This is too much. Office romance will follow if you go through this. This is not how you get ahead. This is how you get laid.
That's it. And, you know, someone touched my back at work. I jumped a mile.
And you should.
I'm like, what are you doing?
You should possibly have gotten a lawyer.
Don't walk up to me while I'm typing.
And touch me on the lower
my back,
arm
like,
or
hey,
hand.
Yeah. Just talk to me. You don't have to touch anybody at work, by the way.
This information here will definitely lead to some kind of a lawsuit. This is how to have a lawsuit filed against you at work.
And how to be the biggest creep.
Yeah.
And how to alienate yourself from other people as the touchy one.
I don't think any man should be touching any woman in the office place sparingly on the lower arm or hand.
Not at all. And your hands are on your desk and you're usually or
you
on
should
your phone.
Be working. You should definitely be working. It says, don't use touch too frequently anywhere other than the lower arm or hand. First it says, touch the lower arm or hand. Then it's like, don't touch anywhere else. That don't behave seductively. Licking your lips, looking people up and down, bending over. Don't drop anything at work.
Don't drop. And don't put anything on the lower shelves.
Yeah. Don't keep everything up high.
Everything is waist level or above.
Yeah. I look, and the best one is don't make people uncomfortable. If the other party is not reciprocating or the flirting feels awkward, abort mission immediately. Get out of there.
Can you intimidate people, though? Don't make them feel awkward, but should you harass them a little?
Well, it doesn't say anything about seductively backing someone into a corner and then reaching behind them to pick up their BlackBerry that has fallen out of their back pocket. This is the worst advice ever. September 27, 2010. Exactly. In the day of lawsuits, how to flirt to get ahead at work. I never in my life had an on-the-job romance, except for when I was a camp counselor and I was 19. Generally, I think it goes under the category of not shitting where you eat.
Right.
Do not screw somebody on the job.
Right.
Everybody will know about it. And then you'll be the office whore.
Right. You can only really do this. I worked at a nightclub and people dated
each
other.
That's okay. That's different.
That's totally different.
Yeah. Nightclub, a summer camp, a bar.
Because we all dressed scantily.
Yeah. And everyone's young.
And bending over all the time.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that, this article, if you were to follow this advice, you would probably be fired or sued on the job. So we're giving a thumbs, thumbs down to this.
Okay. My advice that I found is by Sandra Naaman, and her book is The High Achiever's Secret Codebook.
What?
And she's
like a Mason's?
You are never finish getting off to a great start. So take action and learn how to conduct yourself in ways to help you get ahead. And these are the different ways to help you get ahead on the job.
So she's going with you always get another chance to make a first impression.
Well, no, let me tell you what she's saying. First of all, get over yourself. Don't get too comfortable.
Get over yourself.
Get over yourself. Second is blow your horn softly. Let others know what you have to offer without being labeled as the blatant self-promoter.
So just toot your horn, but just on the hush-hush.
Yeah, and then keep sight of the shore, she says. Be mindful of the fine line between self-confidence and overconfidence. So this is her advice to get ahead by...
Is the next one neither a borrower nor a lender? But she is the Polonius of work advice. This is awful.
I know,
someone should
terrible.
Stab her with a rapier behind the Arias.
What she should have said was, you're not that great, and it's time you knew it. All of this is just like...
Get over yourself.
Yeah, you're not good.
Yeah. Let me tell you something about you. You stink.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the author might be from the South, you know, where they use the cute little phrases like, bless your heart, you know, which really means...
You're a loon.
Yeah, you're retarded. And so she's saying this in a way like, it's just not that good. And she's just knocking you down a few pegs.
Okay, and then does she build you back up?
No.
Wow.
There's no...
So at the end of this advice, really... This is another piece of advice that maybe should come with the news.
Yeah. If you have any confidence or self-worth.
Get over yourself.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah.
Don't because.
Don't start tooting your little horn around the office.
Yeah, nobody wants
nobody
to hear
cares.
It.
Nobody cares. Yeah. You're lucky to have a job and even be there.
Yeah.
They should have kicked you to the curb years ago.
And that's how you get ahead at work.
Yeah, what? Dead weight. Yeah. And that's how you get a promotion. So that's all of her advice?
That's it. That's her advice.
Well, you know what? I'm going to give it a thumbs to the side because it was brief.
Yeah.
Brevity. It's got that going for
right.
it. But
otherwise, it's going to send you home, you know, with a fifth of vodka.
I feel like she probably wrote this for free. She's probably got some real advice somewhere. What's the secret code?
No, it's just the name of the book.
This is an excerpt from her book.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of codes in this book, but I just got these because I got it off the internet.
So apparently she didn't want to give anything away by right. putting the worst code.
So she's going to make you feel bad about yourself so you go in and buy her book
mm-hmm.
and then feel worse about yourself?
When is this book available?
Yeah.
Where?
I'm sure. If you can just go to Amazon, it's somewhere.
Really?
The High Achiever's Secret Code Book. You'll be a high achiever if you
get over yourself.
Yes.
If you could just get over your big head and move on and stop thinking you're all that.
Yeah.
If you think you're a high achiever, I guess. Yeah, I mean, maybe that title is supposed to catch. Like, I'm a high achiever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, you need to get over yourself.
Yeah.
Right away. Or you never get anywhere.
Oh, I'm good at this. Go away.
Get over yourself.
Yeah.
I like it. All right.
All right.
She keeps it real.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going over to Celebrity Corner.
Yeah. I still wish we had some music to play us over to the corner.
Yeah.
Instead of just paper shuffling.
One day.
One day we'll
One
have
day
some,
we'll get it in the budget.
I think we should have, like, xylophone music.
Wouldn't that be good?
That would be
nice.
All right.
As long as there's no accordions or...
What's wrong with accordions?
That or bagpipes.
There is something wrong with bagpipes, and I don't appreciate that you put that in the same sentence with accordion. An accordion is a legitimate... instrument played all over the world. Who plays a bagpipe?
Because I'm ashamed of my Polish heritage, and that's a big part of the Polish way, playing the accordion.
The Polish Way by Katie Kazimier. Step one, get an accordion.
Right.
That must be a nightmare as a kid.
It's...
You get, like, an accordion, and then your brother gets, like, a tuba.
Yeah.
And then your younger sister gets a kielbasa, and then you have your whole Polish
that's it.
Way.
And then your aunt points out that Polish is spelled the same way as Polish.
Nice.
And then you're like, what
Why
is happening?
Why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? Get over yourself.
And then your grandmother gives you a t-shirt that says Polish and proud.
Polish and proud?
Yeah, it was in the flourishing kind of font.
Was there any imagery on there? I don't know much about Polish Americans.
No,
Poland
nothing.
I know
was,
quite a bit about.
There was a lot of glitter on it and...
Is that Polish?
No, it's just...
Was there a lion or...
Nothing. There was just a Polish
just
and proud.
Just pride. That's
Polish
all you need.
Proud.
That's all you need is pride. You don't need anything else.
It was a yellow shirt.
It's a good Polish color, yellow.
Okay.
All right.
All right, we do.
Celebrity
We're over here
corner.
In the corner.
Celebrity corner.
All right, go with your...
So I picked Robert Downey Jr.
Well, explain what your... This is a discount celebrity, people.
Oh, we forgot to say. So this is a discount celebrity. We choose a celebrity, and then we give you their discount, kind of their doppelganger minus 10, 15, 20%. So if you can't afford the real thing, you go for the discount guy.
Right.
So today, our real top celebrity is Robert Downey Jr.
Ooh.
We all know him. He stands at a whopping 5'8.5". He was born in Greenwich Village, and he is the son of underground filmmaker Robert Downey Sr.
Ah.
Yeah, he was in his first movie at age 5. The movie was called Pound, where he played a puppy that was addicted to Quaaludes.
Oh.
And it's interesting, because when I looked him up, there's all this trivia about him, but it's all related to Bale.
Wait, was that live action, or was it animated?
I have no idea. It was an underground film. Probably live.
Okay.
He claims he was first introduced to drugs by his own father, who gave him a dube at 8.
Figures.
Okay, get over yourself. Who hasn't had that situation? Good grief. It's New York City in the 70s. Move on. He's been in jail a lot. He lived with Sarah Jessica Parker a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, as an African-American woman, I am predisposed to like Robert Downey Jr. We don't know why. Jeff Goldblum is the same thing. We like him. We don't know why. It's just one of those things, you're just born with it. You just know coming right out of there that, you know.
Really?
You like Robert Downey Jr. I don't know what it is. I don't know what to say.
Like, you could walk up to anybody that's African-American and any woman and she'll
any
be like.
Any real African-American woman.
Oh.
Yeah, that's, and you will know.
Okay.
You will know. And I'm giving you his discount. Okay, we know what films Robert Downey Jr. has been
just
in.
It's fantastic.
But his discount, and he's serving him at a mere 25%, is Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Who?
Yes, Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Did you see The Watchmen?
No.
Watchmen is a great movie. It's based on the comic book. And I spent the first 30 minutes of The Watchmen in the theater arguing with my husband, saying, that's Robert Downey Jr. That's Robert Downey Jr. I was given Robert Downey Jr. the credit for being in The Watchmen until I had to look it up later and realize it was Jeffrey Dean Morgan. He looks exactly like him, minus the drug problem.
So I could have seen him.
You've probably seen him and thought it was Robert Downey Jr. He looks exactly like Robert Downey Jr. He is he's getting a lot of work nowadays. He's up there with Gerard Butler, less stubble.
Okay.
Good-looking guy. He's got 4 inches on Robert Downey Jr. And he's probably a lot cheaper to insure in a film than Robert Downey Jr. But I'm saying he's only serving him at 25% because you can't tell. Once again, this is kind of like the Bill Paxton, Bill Pullman
then
situation.
Then shouldn't it be 50% off? Shouldn't it be 50 if you can't even tell?
All right, 50%
off. I say 50 because
50%.
It's...
He's been in some TV shows that I haven't seen. Grey's Anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
He was also in a show called Supernatural, which we've mentioned before and neither of us have seen.
Yeah, right, in our previous show.
Yeah, in our previous show about the Supernatural. And I think because of the likeness, I'm going to say that Jeffrey Dean Morgan is 50% of Robert Downey Jr.
Okay. And if you were to meet Robert Downey Jr., would he be dastardly or disarming?
I think he would be dastardly. I mean, I still like him, but only because I read a lot of his quotes and it didn't really come across as a very pleasant person.
Okay.
And he's really not known for being pleasant either. So I think if I met him, he would probably just snub me right away.
But he seems so charming.
Really?
In movies, in Sherlock Holmes, he was oh so charming.
I don't know if the charming is the word. Yeah. I think cocky and self-assured. I mean, if you like that kind of thing. And it says here his trademark is not known for being humble.
Okay.
right away. And he's also very conservative.
He should read the book.
And get over himself.
Yes.
Get over yourself. Yeah, I know. What, hey, Tony Stark? I don't like that character either. I don't like the...
In Iron Man.
Yeah, or Iron Man 2. And I probably won't like him in Iron Man's, 3 through 5 when I'm sure they'll come out. I'm not interested. He's doing a Sherlock Holmes...
7.
The second Sherlock Holmes, and I wonder if it'll be as homoerotic as the second.
The first one was extremely gay, right?
Mountain of Sherlock Holmes. And I love Sherlock Holmes from Basil Rathbone, on.
Just more clothes.
Yeah.
More clothes.
It's a fashion show.
And more gay.
Yeah, it's Brokeback Mountain with steampunk. All right, so there you go. You can't get Robert Downey Jr. for half off. You can get Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Okay.
He's got a movie coming out. Please go see it.
Okay. Well, I have here Dennis Quaid for Harrison Ford.
Didn't he just go insane, or was that Randy Quaid?
It was Randy Quaid and his wife that were on the road.
They were on the road.
They were criminals, they were caught or something.
They fled all the way to Canada.
Yeah.
And they claimed that people were after them. That's not where you flee to. Canada?
Originally go to Mexico.
Yeah, Tijuana. Yeah. Anyway.
But anyway, Harrison Ford was in Working Girl.
Okay.
And Dennis Quaid was in the remake of Yours, Mine, and Ours.
Okay.
And that's where he remarries and they have like 18 kids.
Ew. When did this movie come out?
Well, Yours, Mine, and Ours was originally done with Lucille Ball and Henry Fonda. And it was a great movie. And then they remade it. And you know what? I actually can't really enjoy it. Even though the first movie was good, it's so distracting, the 18 kids. How do they get all the money to pay for those kids?
Are they in a reality show in the movie?
No. They just happen to have a lot of kids in their first marriages, and then they remarry, and they have all these kids. Like, their spouses die or something.
Of course, yeah. It's never something like... The spouse took off or there was always some innocuous thing like they just randomly died, leaving each of them with 9 kids.
Yeah.
Who were the kids?
I don't know who the kids were. Because I can't even watch the movie because I'm so distracted. I'm so worried about their finances. So that's it. But back to Working Girl, which is a classic movie about a worker getting ahead by using her brain.
Yeah.
Melanie Griffith is in it, and she has a famous quote in the movie, "I have a head for business and a bod for sin." Is there anything wrong with that?
Yes. There is something wrong with that.
Well, she was a regular office worker and her boss broke her leg skiing.
That's right. Sigourney Weaver, who is supposedly, I guess, not attractive in this movie and is kind of a battle axe, gets bested by someone who has an accent that seems kind of like a racial parody of a white person.
Right.
From
she's like
Long
Staten Island.
Island. No, Staten Island.
Or Long Island, either one.
Some island.
Make does a makeover and steps in for her boss, you know, without any approval, of course. And so she gets away with it. And
does she sleep with Harrison Ford?
Yeah, she does. Of course, everybody does.
Yeah. I like Harrison Ford, though, because unlike some older male actors, he manages to keep his clothing on even during a sex scene.
Yeah, yes.
I think he knows where he stands when it comes to nudity, behind a sheet.
He's full of class.
Yes, he's
That's
a very
what I
classy
like him
man.
In fact, this brings us to Dastardly or Disarming. Mm-hmm. Harrison Ford belongs, has a membership in an exclusive club called Old Men I Would Make Out With.
Oh, wow. Who else is in this club? Tom Skerritt?
No. Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck.
Of course. Tom Selleck.
Have you seen Tom Selleck, A Sandwich and a Waterfall?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Yes, for those of you that don't know, try to Google Tom Selleck, Sandwich and Waterfall, and there's just a million pictures, imagery people have put together.
Of Tom Selleck, A Sandwich
and a Waterfall.
And a waterfall.
For some reason, I think the first person who did it had a dream.
About
it,
Zellick.
And so then he just did it and put it up, and it just caught on like wildfire.
A friend of mine said that website makes sense because when you see Tom Selleck, you do feel wet and a little hungry. So, I don't know.
Well, I love Tom Selleck, and I'll tell you, my friend met him just a few weeks ago and kissed him on the street.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Good for
absolutely
her.
Absolutely true story. She said, oh, my God.
It's to Tom Selleck?
She said, oh, my God, you don't even understand. You don't even understand. My mother and I used to watch you. And,
along with millions of other Americans.
And so may I have a kiss? Now this girl.
And she said, and he said, okay.
And he said, of course you may, was the answer. And this was on Central Park West.
Wow.
And she kissed him. And she said it was probably the best kiss of her life.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Go Tom Selleck. Tom Selleck, I live in Riverdale, New York.
Yeah, and
if you need an extra kiss, I'm here. Okay, so who else is in the old men's club?
And also Tom Selleck, you can email us at heyyouknowit@gmail.com.
Yeah. And with Sandwich and Waterfall.
Yeah, and, you know, we can meet up. So it's Tom Selleck, now Harrison Ford, and now I have to put Dennis Quaid in the club.
Dennis Quaid?
Because he is the discount Harrison Ford. And he's serving, that's what I'm saying here, and it's my thing, he's serving Harrison Ford at, you know, probably 40% off.
Really?
Yeah, but since he's serving Tom Selleck, I guess I have to put them in the club.
So you're saying he's serving Tom Selleck at how many percent?
He's like, you can get him for 60% of...
I'm going to change your mind in a second by mentioning a film called Pandorum.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
I'm saying he's not serving anything after that movie. That was one of the worst things I've ever seen. It's one of these science fiction movies where nothing happens.
So you're going to say like 25%? Like, that's, or 75% off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, after Pandorum.
Yeah.
Before Pandorum, sure, but after Pandorum, no. I'm sorry. And I mean, how old is he?
These are all older men. I'm saying over 50.
Over 50.
Over 50. Men who are over 50.
And there are only three people in this club? This is an exclusive club.
Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned that it was exclusive.
I told you.
Could I add to that club Jeff Goldblum?
Maybe in your club. He's not in my club.
He could be in the Jaquetta Sotmore Auxiliary.
Yeah. Yes.
Older men.
The adjunct
club. The adjunct club.
Yes.
That's not, apparently not so exclusive.
Yeah.
Come on, I like Jeff Goldblum. He's awesome.
All right. But
he had a TV
then make
show
out
on
with him.
Rains. It was on for a hot minute.
Yeah.
And then it disappeared. All right, I'll give that to you.
Final rant, Jaquetta.
My final rant is, look, people, we do not live in a meritocracy, as much as one would like to think we do. Consider how many awful supervisors you have had. They certainly didn't get there with talent.
That's right.
So, you have to do what you have to do on the job to get ahead. The first thing you should do is identify anyone on the job who may be a threat to you, and then take care of that threat.
Take them down.
Yeah, you do it Bush style with a preemptive strike.
Nice.
Anyone who looks like you, seems like you, has a similar skill set to you, knows anything about your actual past, or has an inkling about your future, you got to get rid of them.
Okay.
Snuggle up to the boss as fast as you can, and if possible, get rid of him or her.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like I said earlier, always be in a position to sue. Always be in a position to bring the company down. Be everything to everyone at all times. And above all things, lie, lie, lie. This is how you get ahead.
It sounds exhausting.
It is exhausting. But this is, I mean, getting ahead isn't easy. You got to get up early and stay late if you're going to screw everybody at the office so you can be the last man or woman standing. Mm-hmm. That's how you get ahead.
Nice.
Look at me. I'm a perfect example.
What?
I don't even have a job. Yeah, that's how ahead I am. I'm way ahead.
I wasn't going to point that out.
Yeah. working is for chumps, people.com.
Well, then from this chump, here's my final rant. Okay, people assume there's room in advancement in the workplace, for advancement in the workplace, but there's really not. You have a small window of opportunity to advance yourself.
Strike while the iron is hot.
Yeah. Whatever you do in the first 3 months of your employment will cement how people see you forever, and that's called your embedded reputation, okay? And people are most likely not going to be promoted due to bad embedded reputation. So I suggest if you ever want to get promoted or get a huge raise, you stage a few events that will put you in a good light within that first 3 months of employment.
Okay. Is a keg stand on that list or no?
No. Well, first of all, back up all your company's data on a second server and then crash the first one. So everyone's like, oh. And then be like, I can get it back. And then bring out the second server, and you'll be a hero. First off, that's a suggestion.
Wait, won't they suspect you as having destroyed the first one since you were the only person who backed it up?
No, they'll be so grateful.
They'll forget all about their suspicions.
Forget all about it, yeah.
All right. Sounds like a Scooby-Doo.
I know. Well, that's it.
All right. Thank you for listening to episode 6, How to Get Ahead at Work. We hope that you follow some of our advice and it helps you to get ahead. If you'd like to contact us, please send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com.
And we'd like to thank Cinema Cinema, Kim Audio, and to you, the listener.
And now for your listening pleasure, for the first time on the airwaves, our first song, Hey, They Will Downsize, by the Hey You Know It Chorus. What's wrong with you? You look kind of down.
It's true what they say.
I hear
say.
They just may downsize.
Call Santa moved
They're
away.
They're saying they might downsize.
I want to avoid.
Been hoping that they were lies.
Unemployed.
Accountants dropping just like flies.
I'm really starting to
The end will
worry.
Come in a hurry.
I'll be next to be shown
You're
the door.
You're shooken up to the core.
Clean out my desk in
and
a
And I think
flurry.
You better do it in a hurry.
I'll have to get warm.
More like you'll be cleaning a floor.
Will I pay my bills?
Oh yeah, it's bad out there.
Healthcare and the
There's
pills.
No jobs to be had out there.
I wish I knew
Try
how
not to have such a cow.
To stop this hell.
They'll take your badge, your key as well.
There really is no
Being
enjoyment.
On unemployment.
I never thought when I was
that
hired.
That you would ever be fired.
I would
the
never stay.
You out.
Oh yes, they will downsize.
I don't know what you're so surprised about. This has been coming for years.
I never thought it would happen to me.
You know you can't trust corporate America. They only care about one thing.
I simply must go.
Because, lady, you've been downsized.
Sit that stupid
It sucks
hole.
To be downsized.
My welcome
it
has
It was a matter
been
of when.
So overstayed.
I hope at least that you got paid.
I thought it was so
and
suspicious.
And it was kind of vicious.
Because they gave that lying boy
who had his nameplate on the door.
Because he was
a
so
claim
ambitious.
That was so fictitious.
An expense account for his
Now
poor.
You're the one that is poor.
I gotta go home.
I hope you got severance pay.
Got a $5 you can float.
But there's no way you can pay me back.
Not even a grand.
I'm shocked that can be no way.
Nothing for me.
How could they do this thing to you?
I really do hate to
Can you
to
pay
borrow.
Me back tomorrow?
At least I can completely demure.
I mean, I don't also want to be poor.
I really can't
it's
stay.
It's over. They sold you out. Yes,
they did.
They shipped your job abroad.
Oh, they did.
It's up in Bangalore. Downsize.
Oh,
you're fucked.
Yeah. I'm on my way.
Start collecting unemployment.